run a chapel on the road from here, but we certainly can't do that in this place, and maybe over afternoon tea one day we will. But what we do want to do is to take you on a little journey that looks at some examples of ministries of compassion and proclamation. Now I'm getting used to this thing, which is forward and which is back. Is it moved just forward? Have a good drive from it. Okay, so you can see that we were just in a small part of Africa. Africa's a very big place, but even so, we travelled several thousand kilometres in Tanzania and Zambia. And so we have four great examples of Christian compassion and three of progressive ministries of the word. And Diane's going to begin now by just taking us through it quickly and briefly through our first two examples of ministries of compassion.
Last year, a lady called Kim, who was a friend of Diane McCulloch's, came and visited us in this church. Kim is an Australian who married a Zambian and then went back to live in Zambia. She's a qualified teacher and she could have got a really good job in a school in Zambia. But when she got to this town called Chingola in the north of Zambia, she found that there's a big area of slums with over 1,000 children in it, and about 700 of those children had no access to school. So she decided that she would start a school for those children. It's called Ipalo Christian Community School. You can only go to the school if you can't afford to pay the fees, which is a bit of a challenge. It's a terrific little school. It's up to class four, and they employ social workers to help look after the children and their families. The children are given lunch every day. Every child has to have a parent or family member who agrees to give one day a week of work for the school. So it's a real community event. After that, we went to Tanzania, and we went to a place called Njombe, which is a fairly big town, and then were driven 110 kilometres along an appalling road up into wonderful mountain country. Very beautiful. Lots of tea plantations, forests, just lovely country, but very remote. In that place, we found the Anglican Church has a hospital. It's a fairly basic hospital. I don't know that you and I particularly like to be admitted, but it's a tremendous help for those people who live in that remote village, particularly pregnant ladies who get their prenatal care, who can give birth. The guy can even do cesarean sections there.
That's the operating theatre. Bottom left there,
go on in. Yeah, that's the operating theatre. It's not like the one at Dubbo, which you probably saw when you went to the open day.
So still in Tanzania, we went back to a place, an area where we used to live for 6 years, when we first went to Tanzania. And that's the town of Winga, a town a bit like Dubbo. But in it, an absolutely inspirational missionary lady from England, who herself had suffered all sorts of disabilities and operations, had started a program for people with all sorts of disabilities. And the program is well established now, and it's called Nema Crafts. They have a wonderful building designed by an Australian missionary architect, and what they offer there is opportunity for people with an assortment of disabilities to engage in productive employment. Now, you might think that's just good for the economy, but it's also very good for the well-being of these people, because in East Africa, people with disabilities tend to be shut away and out of sight. They're somehow some sort of item of shame. But here, it's far from that. Here we have a collective of people joyfully working together on wonderfully productive projects. Susie, who started the project, has moved on and is starting another project in South America. But you need a special kind of person to run it, and the special kind of person called Ben is continuing. Many of the people are profoundly deaf, and many of them are sourced from a school for the deaf, a primary school run by the diocese. The little lady on the right of the picture there, the short one there, she actually only has stumpy legs that finish above the knee, but she gets around the shop and runs the shop. So people are there busy sewing items for sale. Some of them are sold in the shop there, some in Dar es Salaam, some even in UK. There are people with disabilities doing carpentry. But upstairs in this place is an amazing cafe run by all deaf people except for the cashier. So if you want to order something, you either got to be good at sign language or you've got to write up a little order form. This is wonderfully productive employment for these people, very compassionate ministry. And the cafe, of course, draws people in to buy at the shop downstairs. So the whole thing is self-sustaining and just wonderful. If we go from there, we go to a place called Mvumi, a village out of Colosso. And we'd never been there before, and this was exciting and very interesting for us. And we went there because we have a very good friend there called Catherine Kumburu. We first met her at Kalolo when she was a laboratory assistant in a little Catholic dispensary. But she wanted to do nursing and she was good at it. With help from South Dubbo Rotary and a bit from ourselves, Catherine got a certificate in nursing and then was upgraded to a diploma. This dispensary serves an area with 21,000 people, spread across four villages, one of which is only accessible by motorbike. The little team at Mvumi includes a doctor, but she's off on maternity leave. So here, our nurse with a diploma is the primary health carer for 21,000 people, doing just an amazing job. She's a Christian, and it's just fabulous to see her doing that. So we move on from there to Mpana.
When we arrived at Mpanda in 2011, it was about a year after they'd started a new diocese, and it was really struggling. The top right picture is the little church they were meeting in, and you can see it's got holes in the wall, which amazed us a bit, because they'd already put in the foundations for a new building, and unfortunately it had to go in and out through the old church. Also went round the rectory, by the way. The rectory was totally inside it. And about 40 people were meeting there on Sundays. We were astonished to go back and find 300 people regularly meeting on Sundays. Wow. And as you can see, they've made a lot of progress on their new building. They've managed to get the columns up and a nice colour bond roof on it with aluminium trusses holding it up. They haven't got any walls or windows yet, but you don't have everything at once. And a very enthusiastic congregation. We had a meeting with all the elders and leaders of this church, and we asked them, how did this big growth happen? And we were told three things. One, the town's growing a bit, so a few Anglicans have moved in. But that's not the main thing. Two, there was a little group meeting every Wednesday afternoon for prayer. When I say little, I mean about four people. Then people started to go to that meeting to be prayed for. And God helped some of those people, and some of those people stayed in the church. So there's a strong foundation of prayer. And now there are 40 people meeting every Wednesday afternoon for prayer. And the other major thing was every year a big evangelistic outreach to the town. Advertised, preachers, choirs. And of course, if your church doesn't have walls, it's very easy for all the people who are walking past and see something interesting just to drift in and hear it. In fact, maybe they should never get the walls. We're also discussing with the bishop and the leaders, we found that this church has been outreaching into different areas. There's one church which is about 100 kilometres from the main church in the parish, They'd started a little church there, but now they've discovered that there are another 40 villages near there where there are no Christians at all. So they're working on that. The day we left, the bishop drove us down through the Rift Valley. On the way, it was a Tuesday, we visited four churches. People actually turned up on a Tuesday to meet their bishop, who was able to discuss with them and with us how things are going. All of those churches have a tremendous vision for making Christ known in that part of the Rift Valley. That's the secret of the outreach.
And our final example takes us back to Milo, where there's a Bible school. And you might think all of Africa is pretty hot and sunny, but I tell you, Milo is up high, about 5,000 feet, and pretty cold like this place this morning. But they do have walls on their buildings, for which I was grateful. But there, they also, in addition to their hospital, have a Bible school. And so we were able to do a little bit of teaching in that Bible school. But the Bible school is there for training lay pastors, because they are church planting and they need lay people to lead the churches. They have more churches, many more churches than they have ordained Anglican clergy. So this little group were 16 people, mostly young people, two women and 14 men. But you might see in the front of that picture an older man who's a retired school teacher and happened to be a friend of ours, and we had no idea that he was there, who's training to be a lay minister in a new church. You can also see there a counter with some books and Bibles and stuff. That's their bookshop, and that the capital for that came from St. Ambrose Gilgandra. There are some people who are very serious in their partnership and mission, and these people in the Diocese of Southwest Tanganyika are very serious about the training of their lay leadership. Maybe there's a lesson there for us. So let me take you forward just to conclude. So what for our parish of Dubbo? What we've looked at are examples from the worldwide family of Christ. Some are doing well, and others, I'd have to say, are certainly struggling. But we do have much to learn from each other, and we should be alert and awake to what God is doing around the world, as well as in this place. The second point is that compassion and proclamation are really an item. They go together, just as those two commandments, the two great commandments, go together, so these two things go together. We cannot hope to be effective if we keep Jesus as our secret lover. We must be prepared to proclaim Christ as our Saviour. He is the one behind these works of compassion. And thirdly, the church that lives by itself will die by itself. There's no doubt about that. We need a vision in this place, not of self-preservation, but of winning our city for Christ. And you might think that's impossible, and of course we're not the only church in town. But if you just look at that utility load of bicycles, all those things in the picture are bicycles. With God, nothing is impossible. I reckon if they can get those on there, nothing is impossible with God for us. So let's just finish with a very quick look at today's word from the reading in Galatians. In verse 1, we see it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery to the Lord. To the law. Certainly we should be slaves to the Lord. We should have a freedom to see what the Spirit is doing in the world, not locked up in tradition, not bound by what has gone in the past, much of what was good, but we must look to what the Spirit is doing in the world today. And so Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, many of which are listed in that verse, in that chapter. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. You do have a freedom to branch out under God and see what God wants to do today. And so he enjoined it to us is, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We need to be prayerful. We need to be mindful. And we need to have our eyes open and our hearts open to see what God is doing in the world. So we've looked at some very bold visionary ministry by African Christians, despite their poverty, despite all the dramas and hassles of Africa. These are bold Christians who are out doing great things. So this year, as we continue to work together towards a fresh and wider vision for our parish, be bold in your thinking, be bold in your prayer, and keep seeking the Spirit's leading for your part in all of this. And we thank you for the time we've had with you this morning.